Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
And so Aaron said, "Hey, Dad, I want to go and be with these kids." And I said, "Nah, Aaron, not today." "Well, come on, Dad. You know, they're going. Their dads let them. Why can't I go?" And we got into this big fight. After a while, I said, "You want to go? Yeah, well, go. Go. Get out of here. Go." About 4 hours later, I get a call from the emergency room. And here's Aaron, all busted up, all dirty, and busted two fingers. And I looked at him, my heart just went out to him, and I said, "Good for you."
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. One of our favorite Bible characters is David, and we all enjoy reading the Psalms that he wrote. But today, Pastor Wayne is going to show you a side of David that you may not have even known about. There were some lessons to be learned through David's desert experience. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Finding Confidence in the Desert.
If you take out your notes, we're going to continue in our series called Finding Confidence in a Shaky World. And we're going to find out how we can learn to trust God in the desert. David, we all know of David. We've heard of him. He's a giant slayer. He's a nation builder. He's a warrior. Jonathan's best friend. Jonathan was Saul's son, the king's son. David was a sweet psalmist. He was a man of integrity, reputed hero. Even when Saul was chasing him because he was so intimidated by David, because David was such a strong warrior, people would say David was going to take the throne. And Saul says, "No, he's not going to take the throne." Even Jonathan, his son, says, "Dad, he's going to be the next king." "No, he's not." So Saul began to chase David and pursued him into the desert from cave to cave to valley until he got a little bit desperate. David got a little tired of being chased. Even once he had a chance to even slay Saul, but he stopped his men and said, "No, we can't, because you'll not touch the Lord's anointed." Wow, at that point, everybody in Israel thought, what a godly man he is. What a best friend he is to Jonathan. God's hand is surely with him. But what we don't know about David is a short time of his life, for about a year and a half, that most people don't know about. And that is a time when David actually defected. He was actually a traitor. He deserted the people of Israel. That's right. A year and a half almost. It's not known that much, and people don't talk about it, but we are going to talk about it this morning, because within that short span of time, David's going to find some lessons that if we can catch, will help us to find confidence in the desert when we're there, and to also understand the ways of God in dealing with us and bringing us back and changing our hearts. Well, David was running from Saul, and he got a little tired of it. And so he thought, "Where in the world can I go where Saul will stop chasing me?" Ah, he thought, "I'll just cross over to the Philistines and live among the Philistines in a place called Gath." Philistines? Wasn't Goliath the Philistine, where he fought against Goliath in 1 Samuel 17 in that big contest where giant or ugly takes all? Wasn't that David and the Philistine? So he's going to go and defect and live with them? Yeah. Because David figured, "I'm tired of running. This is the only place Saul will stop looking for me." And let's read it together. What takes place in 1 Samuel 27, 1 through about 3. All right? Let's read it. "Then David said to himself, 'Now I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. And there is nothing better for me than to escape into the land of the Philistines. Saul then will despair of searching for me anymore in the territory of Israel, and I will escape from his hand.' So David arose and crossed over, he and the 600 men who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath." Now that's where Goliath came from, Goliath of Gath. So that was one of the cities in the area of the Philistines. About a year later, of having lived with the Philistines and kind of liking it there, he had been in a few skirmishes, and so he proved his warriorship and his ability. He said to King Achish, who was the king of the Philistines, "I like being with you. You are now my king. Could you give me a place to live here? And so King Achish actually gave him a city or a town called Ziklag. There he raised his family, his wives, and 600 men, and their families all settled in the place of Ziklag. Now, a moment of destiny comes about a year and a half into all of this. David hears that the Philistines are going to go against Israel once and for all, because Israel was always in the sights of the Philistines. They wanted to get back at the Israelites. Now, they figured with David there too, what, David could help. So, David is called out of Ziklag and his 600 men to the front lines. And King Achish is going to give him an opportunity to fight. Now, interestingly enough, David is in the desert. He's tired. He's tired of running. He just wants to stop all of this stuff. He doesn't understand why he's been booted out of Israel. He has no idea what's going on. But God is about to show David that he can trust God even when I don't understand. Would you write that in your notes? Because we're going to take a look at the first stage where God will teach us to trust him even when we don't understand. Let's find out what happens as we read the scripture under number one. Are you ready? Go. About that time, the Philistines mustered their armies for another war with Israel. Come and help us fight, King Achish said to David and his men. Good, David agreed. You will soon see what a help we can be to you. If you are, you shall be my personal bodyguard for life, Achish told him. Now, David is ready to jump in. He's going to show Saul. And he's going to say, Saul, I'm going to fight with the Philistines against you to tell you to knock it off. Stop chasing me. I'm tired of this. David got a little desperate. And he was in a desperate strait. And when that happened, he made a foolish decision. There's going to be times in your life and mine when you're going to hit desperate times. You'll wonder why. Why is all of this happening? I'm tired of keeping up. I'm tired of trying to do what you're telling me to do. I'm trying my best to be good, oh God. Just tired. And then when you come to a point of desperation, it is at that point where often we will make very foolish decisions. Now listen carefully. Although we will all fall on desperate times, here it is, don't let desperation make you foolish. David made a foolish decision. And he crossed over to the Philistines, and now he's going to fight against the Israelites. Now, when King Achish says to the generals of his army, hey, generals, guess what? And they're all on the front lines getting ready. Guess what? David and his 600 men are going to fight with us against Israel. Isn't that cool? And he's a warrior. He's a great warrior. Man, what a trophy we have. He's defected to us. Isn't this strong? The generals say to King Achish, you know, we trust David about as far as we can throw him. What do you mean, King Achish said? He's been my bodyguard. We've seen him in skirmishes. He's faithful. He has a city right here among us. No, they said, because what if in the midst of the battle he changes his mind? He's not going to change his mind. He's living with us here in the area of the Philistines. He's got a city. No, we're not going to trust him. So King Achish submits to his generals. And he brings back the sullen news to David, who's ready to go. And his 600 men are all gearing up for this battle. King Achish came back to David and said, David, you've been faithful, I know, but the generals don't want you. Sorry, you have to pack up your bags and go back to Ziklag. What was David's response? He is mad as a hornet. Let's read what his response is. Ready? Go. What have I done to deserve this treatment? David demanded. Why can't I fight the enemies of my lord, the king? But Achish insisted. Now get up early in the morning and leave with your men as soon as it gets light. David is burning mad. He doesn't understand. Why am I getting all the bad breaks? But even when David doesn't understand, God does. Listen, there are going to be times in your life and mine, because you've given your heart and life to Christ, He's not going to just take sides with you. He's going to take over. Because sometimes we think we've got this wrong definition of salvation. We think that as soon as we become a Christian, then God will bless me, answer me, help me, encourage me, pat me on the back, give me what I want, direct me. Oh, He's going to just bless me. God is on my side. This is so good. But you see, when you give your heart to Christ, He doesn't just take your side. No, no. He comes to take over. Big difference. And we must trust Him. Because you see, there's times if He just took your side and you're going the wrong way, but you don't know it, because God sees the end from the beginning. If He just takes your side, why, He just helps you to go faster over the cliff. And He won't do that. When you and I are lost, and even though we don't understand why, He'll put the brakes on you. Because God isn't here to take sides. God is here to take over. And we get to trust Him. Ruth Holmes Calkins is a short story essay writer and writes also poems. And she put her finger on this in a short poem that's called Takeover. And she writes this. At first, O Lord, I asked You to take sides with me. And like David in the Psalms, I have circled and underlined phrases like, the Lord is for me. He gives me the victory. Maintain my rights, O God. Yet after all my pleading and underlining, I still lay drenched in darkness until in utter confusion, I cried, no, don't take sides, O Lord. Just take over. And suddenly, it was morning. Isn't that nice? Don't take sides, oh God. Just take over. And suddenly, it was morning. You see, sometimes we want God to take our side. David wanted God to take his side. But instead, God took over. And when life seemed so illogical to David, it made complete sense to God. And if you've given your life to Christ, He doesn't take sides, even if we plead for Him to do so. In fact, what David doesn't know is that when he didn't understand what was going on, God was protecting him. There's going to be times I won't know what's going on, and I'll be moving steadily forward, and then life puts brakes on. Some things happen in circumstances and jobs or friends, turns against you. And our tendency is to get mad at God. That's what David did. But what David didn't know was that God was about to save his life. I wonder how many times we're going in the wrong way and God jumps in to save us. Even before you gave your heart to Christ, I wonder how many times God jumped in to save us. When I get to heaven, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask God to run the video of the amount of times He jumped in to save my hide. And after I view that video, I'm going to fall on my knees and cry. How many of you, to be honest, would say, if God hadn't helped me, I think I'd be dead today? How many of you? Yeah. I tell you, God has jumped in so many times. And He did with David. You know why? I'll tell you why. Why did he take over? What David doesn't know is this. The very battle that he was going to jump in, what he doesn't know, and he will later, is that this battle will cause a massacre to happen with the Israelites. In the aftermath of this battle that David was doing his best to get into, it is an unimaginable horror that takes place. The field in the aftermath of this battle is littered with dead bodies. And when the Philistines come in to mop up, they find the dead body of Saul, the king of Israel, and his three sons, Abinadab, Malchishua, and David's best friend, Jonathan. They're all dead. Not only do they find them dead, they decapitate them. And they take these trophies throughout the land to boast about the superiority of the Philistines. And then they take these decapitated, headless bodies and impale them on the walls of a city that's been recently excavated in Israel called Beth Shean. The people of Jabesh Gilead, another city over, feel so bad about this horrible thing that was done. They sneak at night, take down the bodies, and give them a decent burial. You see, if David would have gotten his way, he would have been a part of the battle where Saul would have been killed, and he would have been a part and contributor to killing his own best friend and his two brothers. And you see, if that would have happened, if he wouldn't have been stopped from, if he wouldn't have been disqualified from this battle, then the rest of his life he would be fighting with the sorrow of his heart that he was part and parcel to killing his own best friend. And the people of Israel, you know what they would be saying? Don't tell us, David, that, oh, touch not the Lord's anointed, because it was you in that battle that killed our king Saul. Not only that, that wasn't good enough for you, huh? You defect to the Philistines and you kill the whole royal family. Well, I mean, I didn't kill him. No, but you were part of that battle in which all of the royal family was slain. Don't tell us that you're for Israel, that you're for God. Touch not the Lord's anointed, and Jonathan's your best friend. You wanted the throne all along, didn't you? And you were going to get it any way you could. You even jumped in and defected with the Philistines in order to hide yourself and see the slain bodies of the royal family littering the field. That's the kind of guy you are, aren't you, David? Do you understand what God protected him from? A lifetime of sorrow. David didn't understand that. In fact, he even got mad at God for not allowing him. Not only that, he packs up his bag in anger. All of his 600 men pack up their sleeping bags. They go back to Ziklag. And what they didn't know was on their way back, another marauding band of warriors came in and blindsided them. The Amalekites, they came in and burned that city down to a charred remain and then took all the families into captivity, the wives and children, because the 600 men had gone to the front line, see, to fight. And at that point, they saw the city vulnerable. Amalekites came in, ransacked the city, took the family, looted the place, and now they're on their way. Now they're coming back. So they're a few days behind. David and his men hear God to go pursue them. So they pursue him, rescue them all. Now listen, if David would have jumped in that battle, he would have been a week late. And by that time, all of the families would have been gone forever. He came back just in time to chase and rescue. It's sort of like God was saying, you don't understand, David, what's going on, but I know. And I'm going to put up some brakes and you're going to fight against me. But even when you don't understand, I want you to know the ways of God, that when you give me your heart, the Lord says, I don't just take your side. There's times I take over. And you must trust me, even when you don't understand. And I look at that and I think, what a gracious God we have, who protected David, who saved him from a horrible future. That's why in Proverbs 3:26, we find this. Let's read it at the bottom of the page. Ready? Go. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. There's sometimes you won't understand. Now, if you're a young person in this church, please listen. There's going to be times where you won't understand why instructions come down to you, that you can't do this or don't do that. And God's going to give you parents, counselors, youth pastors. And God's going to place in their heart a sense of inherent dangers, inherent evil, just an intuitive sense. Now, they sometimes won't even be able to explain why they don't think you should go there, be a part of that party, or go overnight for that thing or whatever. They can't tell you. But God will give them a certain anointing and drop into their heart an intuitive sense of upcoming lurking dangers that they don't know, you don't know, but God does, because He knows the end from the beginning. And if you fight against your parents, fight against your counselor, fight against that youth pastor and go anyway, then you're going to bring evil on yourself. You're going to run into some walls that God could have had you avoid. For our confidence is in the Lord who will keep our foot from being caught. And if you fight hard enough and you get your way and circumvent them, then you will suffer great loss. That's why in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, or honor your parents, obey them. For this is right. For this is the first commandment that comes with a promise. What's the promise? Honor your father and mother so that it will go well with you and that you will live long on the earth. So when we understand the ways of God, even though we don't understand the situation, we can cooperate and trust Him because He knows the end from the beginning. Some time ago, when Aaron was about 14 years old or so, he was into rollerblading, and they would go into these half pipes and do these acrobatics and spin and flip and do somersaults, and he was getting pretty good at it, and he can do some pretty interesting tricks. But one day, a bunch of the kids said, hey, let's go to a friend's house in Papaiko on the Hamakua coast, and let's ride this half pipe. But it had been raining, and the half pipe at their house hadn't been really well upkept because I had seen it. And the kids that wanted to do all of this were pretty risky kids, and they would take chances they shouldn't. And so Aaron said, hey, Dad, I want to go and be with these kids, and we're going to do this half pipe thing. And I said, nah, Aaron, not today. It's been raining, and I don't think so. He said, oh, come on, Dad, you know, you got to let me go. You can't keep me a prisoner in this house forever. And I said, you know, Aaron, I just don't think so. Well, come on, Dad. You know, they're going. Their dads let them. Why can't I go? And we got into this big fight. After a while, I said, you want to go? Yeah, well, go. Go. Get out of here. Go. Get out of here. So his friends picked him up. He went. About 4 hours later, I get a call from the emergency room. I hustle up there, and here's Aaron, all busted up, all dirty, and busted two fingers. They looked like contorted pipe cleaners, you know, just. And he's crying, oh, Dad, look at my finger. And I looked at him, my heart just went out to him, and I said, good for you. You know, it's funny, sometimes God just puts a sense in a parent. You just don't know why. But if you fight against it hard enough, you come to loss. There's going to be times, too, when we won't understand things with God and why God just won't let something go through. But God, I've been serving you. I've been waiting. I got your promises and everything, and I'm just tired now. I'm just tired and desperate. I don't understand why you're putting all these stops in here. We'll have a tendency just to drop out in desperation, make a foolish move. Don't do it. Because what we have to do is understand the ways of God. And when you receive Him and you give Him your heart, He doesn't just come and take your side like a buddy. He comes to take over. Because He sees the end from the beginning. And if you'll understand the ways of God, you'll start to trust Him. And then God will begin to show you that you can find confidence and trust even in the desert. Well, David learns that lesson later, but on his way back to Ziklag, when he returns, he finds out that everything is trashed. And not only that, the 600 men are bitter with David. They have lost trust in David, because when David said, hey, let's go fight, 600 men go, now that town is vulnerable. They come back, their families are gone. Everything that they owned has been burned to a crisp. And they look at David and say, it's your fault. You wanted to fight this dumb battle. And then we get rejected, and then we come back and we've lost everything. They were so bitter, they wanted to stone him to death. They started picking up stones. They were going to actually kill him. All of a sudden, nobody trusts David anymore. But God is about to give David the second lesson in confidence and trust, is that you can trust God to build your confidence even when I'm all alone. Would you write that in there?
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Finding Confidence in the Desert by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Tomorrow, we'll see from the life of David that God is trustworthy even when you have no clue what lies ahead. Do not miss this program. You can pass go, you can collect $200, but do not miss tomorrow's program. Until the same time tomorrow, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
New Hope Oahu is excited to announce open enrollment for its preschool, Kulia Christian Academy, located at New Hope Oahu's Sand Island campus. Limited spaces available for the current school year for students ages 3 through 5. KCA is also accepting applications for the 2023-2024 school year and will be adding a two-year-old program in the fall 2023. KCA is an affordable full-day program that strives to inspire and equip children to grow academically, socially, and spiritually in a Christ-centered environment. For more information or to enroll your child, visit our website at kuliachristian.org.